Over the past several weeks, if you've been watching the news, I think it may be dying down a little bit now, but we've seen these stunning images from Hawaii as Mount Kilauea erupts and lava flows down across paradise. And I've never been to Hawaii, but I think we all kind of have this image in our minds of Hawaii being this perfect paradise of palm trees and tropical climates and beaches and just everything you could ever want. But then there's also the lava, apparently, flowing from a volcano at 1,500 degrees, and it burns and melts everything in its path. And we've seen these images on the news of lava flowing out across paradise and destroying things in its path. God's Word has a power that works in the same way. It actually works in just the opposite way of a volcano. And the passage that we're going to read today from Isaiah is an image that is just like or just the exact opposite. So if you have those images of lava flowing across paradise, what God's Word is like, in fact, is not a destructive force flowing across a lush landscape, but instead a life-giving force like water flowing out into the desert, out into a parched and thirsty land. God's Word brings redemption. It brings healing. It brings joy. It brings new life to those parts of our lives that are dry and thirsty and in need. It brings into our weary hearts renewal and hope. And that's just what Isaiah, the prophet, so long ago wrote about. And we're going to be reading Isaiah chapter 35 today. And the hymn that we just sang gave some hints at this, if you remember those words. But listen to what Isaiah wrote in chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah delivered these words 2,700 years ago. He spoke them first to his own people in his own time and place, dealing with the situations in their lives that we'll talk about a little bit today. But as we read these words now, all these hundreds of years later, they continue to speak to us with the same truth and the same power and the same hope that they bring into our lives when we face moments of weariness, moments of need, like someone walking through a desert land, someone walking through a dry and weary place, longing for water, and then God's promises, God's truth, the power of God's presence comes, bringing renewal into our lives. You see, this is how God's greatest words of prophecy work. Not just Isaiah's words here, but you read through the Old Testament and you read these prophecies, these prophetic messages from God that spoke first to people long ago, but continue to speak even now into our lives, into our time, bringing hope to us. The power and truth of God's Word continues to flow out, impacting lives, even here in our day. That's, of course, why we still read the Old Testament. It's why we still read these prophetic passages from Isaiah, because they are, in fact, relevant in our lives just as much as they were relevant 2,700 years ago when Isaiah first received this message from God and passed it on to his people. These words continue to go out into those dry places and bring new life. The greatest of the Old Testament prophecies, in fact, point to the coming of Jesus and even to the return of Jesus. And as you listen to this, these words from Isaiah 35, it may not have immediately come to your mind. We don't read the word Jesus here. We don't read his name. We don't hear anything here specifically that may make you think about his return or the end of time. But I think that is, in fact, exactly what this prophecy is about. And so we're going to think about that today. It's this beautiful image of redemption, this image of new life, spoken first long ago, but pointing people to the coming of the Savior. And pointing people, even us, pointing us to the return of Jesus and that great eternity with God that we get to look forward to. So Isaiah's message is clear, and it's been the same message down through the generations from the first people to hear it all the way through today and on as long as it takes until Jesus returns. Isaiah's message is that God provides streams of joy in the desert. Streams of joy that flow out into the desert. God gives new life to the dying. God brings salvation to the lost. God gives living water that flows into a dry and thirsty land. The power of this prophecy has flowed for 2,700 years, and I want us to think about the passage of time and all the people who have read and been encouraged by these words. You can imagine thousands, millions of people have read this passage that we just read this morning. And it has brought to them the same hope that I hope it has brought to us today. So I want to think first about what this prophecy meant to the people who first heard it. And then also to bring it into our day and think about what it's saying to us and how we live our lives today. So we're going to think about three fulfillments of this prophecy. And bear with me, this is a little bit of biblical theology, but it's education too. And hopefully you'll enjoy that, and then we'll bring it into our day as well. So three fulfillments of these words. And we begin with the immediate fulfillment of Isaiah's words. That is that God had a plan for Isaiah's people all those hundreds of years ago. You see, Isaiah spoke in this prophecy just as much of what he wrote and spoke about. He had a message for his own people who were facing a particular challenge, a particularly difficult time in the history of Israel. You see, the people of Israel had disobeyed God. And over a period of a long time, they had disobeyed and fallen away from God's ways and stopped following His law and stopped, in fact, even worshiping the true God. And they had turned to idols and all their disobedient ways. And so eventually God allowed for the Assyrians to conquer His own people in Israel and Judah. And then after the Assyrians, the Babylonians. And so the people of God were sent off into exile. And they couldn't live in their homeland anymore. And they couldn't worship God at their temple anymore, where the temple eventually was even destroyed. But God promised that one day He would bring them back home. And He sent prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and others to say to the people who would be taken into exile, it's going to be hard for you there. You're going to suffer there. And for a long time, you will have to wait for the time for God to fulfill His great promise to bring you back home. But eventually, you will come back home. And so the immediate fulfillment of Isaiah's words is that, yes, one day those exiles will return. And when they do, it will be like someone who has been wandering in the desert for many, many days, coming upon a stream and fresh water and a place of cooling relief. And it will be as though you've returned from that desert and now you can drink that fresh water again and be restored. Because God will bring you back from exile. God will fulfill this great promise to His people. And so that is the immediate fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote. But then there is also in his words, even to the people long ago, what I'm going to call a messianic fulfillment. That is the prophecy of the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. That one day God is going to send a Savior, and this fulfillment is going to be even better than the return from exile, because now the fulfillment will reach beyond just one generation of God's peoples, but now it will reach into all the world for many, many generations, because the Savior is going to come. The immediate fulfillment of Isaiah's words were important. But this language, the language of this prophecy, suggests something far grander than just a return from exile. God promises here new life. He promises salvation. He promises spiritual rebirth. In verse 4 it says, "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you." And that's not just a little word, save. It's not just that things will get a little bit better. It's not just that tomorrow will be better than yesterday, but God will come with this great plan of salvation for His people, and it's an image of the Savior coming, of the Messiah who would come as the great King, the coming King that God had promised from the very beginning of Scripture and finally fulfilled when Jesus was born and ultimately when Jesus died and rose again. This is the fulfillment of what Isaiah was pointing to. The Messiah will come and He will bring living water. Water that brings true life, eternal life to God's people. So there's the immediate fulfillment. There's the messianic fulfillment. But then this prophecy also points to God's ultimate plan for His people. And so now we're going to bring in an even bigger word, the eschatological fulfillment. Eschatology is the study of the end times, the ultimate fulfillment of all that God has promised. And so here Isaiah's words point to eternity. They point to the great promise that God has made for all followers of Jesus, that one day He will take us home to be with Him forever, and we will enter into that great new creation that Scripture has promised us. You see, God promised to bring the Israelites back from exile, and that was a great promise. He also promised that He would send the Savior who would come and bring salvation to all those who would follow Him. And that was an extraordinary promise. But then Isaiah also talks here about that great day that we are still waiting and watching for, when God will come and take us to be with Him forever. Isaiah's words give a glimpse of that eternity, of that rejoicing when we will see God's glory and splendor, when we will experience complete healing. All weakness, all illness, all sorrow, all loss will all evaporate. And we will enter into that great garden of heaven that will replace the wasteland, the desert, the needy places, all of the difficulties of this life. Isaiah called it the way of holiness. and it will lead the redeemed to God's throne. You remember a few weeks ago as we finished our series in the book of Revelation, we read at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, that great promise of how God would take us to be with Him in the new heaven and the new earth, and there we would see God on His throne, and from the throne would flow the river of the water of life, and there planted on the banks of the river would be the tree of life, and we would get to enjoy that for all eternity. And that is the promise that God has made for us, and it's the same image, I think, that Isaiah saw, and that he described in his prophecy, this way of holiness. And as we walk on that way, as we enter into that eternity with God, there will, in that time, in that place, be no more threats. Nothing that will stand in our way. Nothing unclean, he says. No ravenous beasts, nothing that would threaten us. But the redeemed will walk there. And we will find God's pure and perfect presence. You see, Isaiah's prophecy, just like all biblical prophecy, grows in its intensity and power and truth throughout time. It was important for the people of his own day, all those years ago, the promise of return from exile. But it was even more important that it pointed to the coming of the Savior. And it's even more important today as we look forward to that great eternity that we will get to spend with God. And so I want to think also here about how these words speak into our lives in much the same way, the same sort of fulfillments in our own life and our own time. You see, there is also here for us an immediate fulfillment in our day. And that is that streams of hope and healing flow into our broken lives. And this is the promise that Isaiah's words speak into your life with what you're facing in this moment. What you're facing right now. You see, our God is a God of renewal. He's a God of healing. Our God loves to bless His children and to give us good gifts. And so Isaiah says the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame will leap like the deer, the mute tongue will shout for joy. God comes into our lives even today to heal and restore and bless. And you might feel today, I imagine all of us at times in our lives, feel like we're walking through a desert. Walking through a dry place. Maybe it's loneliness or fear. Maybe it's the uncertainty of the future. Maybe it's illness. Maybe it's a relationship that has not turned out the way you wanted it to. Maybe it's just the disappointment of not seeing your life fulfilled, or the hopes that you had fulfilled the way you wanted them to. And we carry these heavy burdens through life. And sometimes it feels like we're staggering along in those weak legs through life and our knees are going to give way. And Isaiah says, God has promised to give us new strength. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. It reminds me of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God has made us this promise over and over throughout the Bible, that He knows the things that we face. He knows the needs that we have. And He's promised to come and meet us in those moments of need. And so Isaiah writes, water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. God has promised renewal. He's promised refreshing. He's promised to bring us new life during those moments of hardship that we face. So there is this immediate fulfillment, but then there's also, as we read these words, again, a messianic fulfillment. That streams of salvation bring new life, even to us, new life through Jesus. If you know today that Jesus is your Savior, and I know many of you in this room have known that truth for a long, long time, Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if you know that, then you have already tasted that sweet water that brings refreshing to your soul. You know what it's like to face life without that hope, and you know then what it's like to find Jesus as your Savior and to taste that renewing, refreshing, life-giving water that flows into your souls. You know what it's like to walk on the way of holiness, that everlasting joy that God has promised us. You know that Jesus has rescued you and has filled you with gladness and joy. Isaiah, who lived 700 or so years before Jesus, Isaiah could only hope for the coming of the Messiah. He could only dream about that day of redemption that God had given him a glimpse of. Someday the Savior is going to come. Someday salvation won't just be for a day or for a few years in this life, but one day salvation will be eternal. And Isaiah could hope for it. He could imagine it. He could long for it. But we know what it's like, because that salvation is real in our lives. But then again, there are some who still have not found that spring of living water. There are still some that we know, maybe even some who are here this morning, who still wander in the desert places. And maybe life is good at times and difficult at other times, but you know that deep in your soul there is that thirst that has not yet been fulfilled. And we know people who go through life like that. And so like Isaiah, we get to share the message of hope with them. You remember the story from the New Testament of Jesus as he traveled through Samaria, which was a place that the Jewish people often didn't travel through, but Jesus chose to go there. And he stopped outside a town, and there was a well there, and as Jesus was there by himself, a woman came out to draw water from the well. And we remember Al's story earlier in the service, and think about the folks in Congo today who have to go out day after day to draw water from the well, and it was a very similar situation. And Jesus was there at the well, and this woman came out all by herself, and the two of them had a conversation because she was there thirsty for the water that the well could provide. But Jesus was there to offer her water that could satisfy the thirst deep down in her soul. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water of the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You see, that is the promise of salvation. It's the promise of new life that can come only through Jesus Christ. And we rejoice today that we have found that salvation. And we rejoice that we also are called to share that good news, that hope, that promise with others who haven't yet found it. And like Isaiah speaking these words of hope, and like Jesus who spoke to the woman who came to the well, we can also share that good news with others, that there is a spring of living water. And if you will just open up your hearts and receive what Jesus is giving, you will never thirst in that way deep in your hearts again. So there's a messianic prophecy and promise for us. But then Isaiah's prophecy also speaks about our future. There's streams of promise that give us the hope of eternity with God. Isaiah spoke about this highway through life, the way of holiness. He spoke about those who walk on that way being protected from all evil and safe from all predators, and that highway is, in fact, our way of following Jesus. But that highway leads not just through this life, That highway leads into the eternity that God has promised us. And so Isaiah writes in verse 10, gladness and joy will overtake those who walk on that way, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. It's this highway that leads to a place of everlasting joy, everlasting comfort, everlasting peace. And it reminds us again of those promises in Revelation at the very end of Scripture, when John was given those glimpses of heaven and that eternity that we would spend with God forever. And one of the images that John saw in Revelation was the great multitude of all of God's followers. And it's a multitude that, even though John saw it 2,000 years ago, it includes us. This is the multitude of every follower of Jesus, all the people all through the generations. Every follower of Jesus gathered around the throne. And as John saw this amazing image of the multitude, he asked, who are these people? What am I looking at? John didn't quite understand. And so the angel who was speaking to him made it clear who that multitude would be. This is in Revelation chapter 7. They are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, one day this prophecy that Isaiah first spoke hundreds of years ago, one day those words are going to come true for us forever. Not just true for a little bit, not just true for one group of people or one generation, but they will come true for every follower of Jesus down through the generations. These are not just glimpses of renewal and joy, but they will be for us the ultimate, final, eternal fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. And just as God brought the Israelites back from exile, just as He sent Jesus to become our Savior, just as He has promised to bless us in this life with joy and healing, He will also fulfill this great promise to take us to be with Him forever. And so God's Word brings us joy and gladness. And it is as true today as it has ever been. And it stands forever as God's testament, God's truth, God's promise that He will love us for all eternity. So we give praise and thanks to Him today for this great promise. Let's bow our heads and give Him thanks. Father, we do thank You for Your word that was delivered to Isaiah and has been preserved and passed down through the generations. We thank You, Lord, that You continue to make this promise to bring streams of joy that flow into our lives, that You bring us healing and strength and renewal and comfort today. But Lord, You also promise to take us home to be with You forever. Lord, we give You praise for that great promise. And I ask that You would help us to share that promise with others, to bring them encouragement and hope as well. Because, Lord, we know that You love everyone who lives on this earth, and You desire for each of them to find that new life and salvation that Jesus offers. So, Lord, we give You thanks today for Your goodness. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.